Blessings to you all on this very typical fall morning in Ohio. Did sun ever come out? I haven't seen the outside. Has the sun come out yet? Or is it still kind of outside? Is it still kind of, am I just talking to myself? Yes? Okay. All right. Fall in Ohio. But at least it's, I don't know, mid-60s and not mid-90s. Like it has been. Oh, no, it's not. Got a divided service already. I want 60s. I want 90s. Go to Florida. There's 90s there. Last week, we introduced the song Clean. And if you want more information about the song Clean, it's Hillsong United. It's one of the shortest songs I think they've ever done, ever, because most of their songs are like 15 minutes long, and that one's like 2.5. It's not your typical 7-Eleven Hillsong United song, seven words repeated 11 times over and over and over again. It's a different type of song, and the purpose, the telos, the goal of introducing that song was a means by which of showing how powerful songs can be. And not just how powerful songs can be, but the purpose and the intent and the direction with which those types of songs can move us. Because you cannot help but be left with some type of response. Just like the song, So Will I. You sing over and over again with this confession, So Will I. If all creation obeys you, so will I. If you gladly chose surrender, Lord, so will I. It's a song you cannot help but respond to. I remember the first time I heard the song Clean. I was at Planet Fitness. I was working out. And I just was overwhelmed with the power of that song. It spoke to me in a very powerful and meaningful way. But it also did something else. It did something that all good songs do. It pointed me back. It pointed me to Psalm 51. When I heard that song, I could not help but think about Psalm 51. And that song helped me see and feel and experience Psalm 51 in a new way. One point that I hope to stress last week was that this powerful psalm that is Psalm 51 is connected to a narrative. It's connected to a story. It's connected to the horrific and sad and tragic story that is David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11 through 12. But it doesn't just end with that story with David and Bathsheba. Psalm 51 is such that it spreads and it extends to all these other different areas in our own life if we are willing and we have this want to have the psalm speak to us. Scholars like to use the terms orientation, disorientation, and reorientation when it comes to how they describe the cyclical nature that is the book of Psalms, in particular Psalm 51. It is this cyclical nature of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Life, death, and resurrection. And they do it to highlight what so often happens in the flow and the direction of the entire Psalter and the entire book of Psalms. There are psalms of life. There are praises. There are thanksgivings. There are trust. There are psalms of death, with confusion and lament and complaint and pain and hurt. Over 70% of the Psalter is psalms of complaint, psalms of lament, psalms of penitent, of suffering and repentance. These are psalms that provide language for questions about God's presence in the midst of all the pain and the confusion. And the psalmist revealed that, in fact, yes, God is with you. In the midst of all of the confusion and all the pain and all the heartache, when you're living out the psalms of lament, when you are living out the psalms of repentance, These psalms scream at us, yes, God is with you. Even in the hurt, even in the confusion, and even in the pain, all of the muck and the mess of it all, yes, God is with you. The psalms of reorientation, of resurrection, of renewal, of rejoicing, while they do not ignore the pain, the confusion, the death, but they say that you are not defined by those things. Your life is not held captive by the pain and by the confusion and by the heartache. You're not stuck there. No matter what you have done, no matter how badly you have sinned, no matter how public and how out in the open your sin is, or no matter how private and how well you've kept it hidden from everybody else, you do not have to remain there. There is hope. There is reorientation. There is resurrection. There is renewal. Some of the Psalms flow out of all three of those categories, as does Psalm 51. When you read it out loud and when you hear the emotion and the experience and the flow with which Psalm 51 goes through, you cannot help but see life, death, resurrection. Orientation, disorientation, reorientation. See if this makes sense. This next picture up here is orientation. This is life. This is me when I had a say of what my kids could wear. This is when I could have a say of what sports teams they wore. We have Lily to the left wearing a very awesome and very beautiful Yankees jersey. How bad they beat the Twins last night, 8-1. Life, joy, a team that wins, compared to the pictures on the right side of the screen, which is remembrances of what used to be as far as a team that actually knew how to win football games. But it's the orange and it's the white and it's life. It's something. I got a boo in the back. That's all right. And then this next slide, we have disorientation. We have a room that has been filled with idols and witchcraft and all types of other blue and the ugly side of orange colors that fill my son's room that has been possessed by something. I don't know what. But clearly, you see, I've lost control of my household when this is proudly displayed in my son's room. And then you see the picture to the left of two people, one smirking in arrogance and in pride, and the other that has no other choice but to try and make a smile. This was one of those years where I made the mistake of betting Austin about whether or not Tennessee would beat Florida, and you see who won. Disorientation. Life, death. And then for some of us still standing on the tippy toes waiting for resurrection and renewal that may or may not ever happen. But that's kind of a silly side to see this. And I hope you guys can see it. But all throughout our lives we experience orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. And there are all seasons in our lives that we go through that are those same cyclical things. Life, death, and resurrection. And what the Psalms invite us to, and it's an invitation. There's no force. There's no coercion. There's none of that. It's simply an invitation. What the biblical narrative does, what the Psalms do, they are invitations that allow and create space and time for us to be honest. For us to be honest about ourselves. They are invitations to release real, authentic emotion. No cover up, no dress up, no pretend everything is okay. Real honesty. Real, authentic vulnerability. The Psalms invite us to create space and time where we can be real. And at the same time, pride spiritual arrogance, ego, are set aside. So honest emotion and experience are offered in prayer that leads to a response. What the Psalms never give us permission to do is to not respond. Like I said last week, emotion without a response is just a tantrum. It's just a tantrum. But when you are real with your emotion and when you are real about your experience, it always leads to some type of, okay, now what? How do I move forward with this? And the Psalms invite us to respond. The Psalms provide language for real transformation to occur in our lives. So I invite you to please stand. In whatever posture of receiving that you are comfortable with, and if you're okay, if you don't feel like standing, you don't have to, but I invite you to stand. In whatever posture of reception that you feel comfortable doing, I invite you to do it. If it's eyes closed and hands open, whatever posture of receiving you need to put yourself in, I invite you to do that now. Hear the words from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. And against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. For surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. So Lord, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen. You may be seated. Two quick things that I want to draw us our attention to before we bring Psalm 51 to a close by finishing out the rest of this psalm. The first one is this, honesty. The honesty revealed in this section is that David does not deflect that he is ultimately responsible for his mess. The first 12 sentences of Psalm 51 is nothing short of pure honesty, where David is just flat out coming before the Lord with his heart, bearing it all, no cover up, no dress up, none of that, no pretending, no, well, I'm the king and I don't have to be that, no, none of that. He comes before the Lord bare, and he comes before him with brutal honesty. I'll remind you guys that verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, isn't one of those theological declarations that David is making about total depravity, about the human condition. That's not the purpose of that statement. That statement is to reveal and to show real emotion and real honesty about his mess. And ultimately, an invitation for us to be real and to be honest about our own mess as well. You'll notice that David doesn't deflect He doesn't deflect. He owns his sin. And he's willing to call it sin. He doesn't pretend it's something else. He owns that loaded word. And he just confesses it before the Lord. He doesn't deflect that he is ultimately responsible for the mess he is in. He does not hide away from the fact. He does not blame others, which in the world in which we all live in, it is common to blame others. It is common to point fingers at others for whatever the context is. But Psalm 51 does not give us permission to not own it. Psalm 51 does not give us permission to blame others. And at the same time, there are times and seasons in our life, because of decisions by others, because of circumstances that were beyond our control, we do find ourselves in messes. But for David, in Psalm 51, he is speaking to us about the decisions we have made and the circumstances that have occurred because of the decisions we have made. I am where I am because of what I have done. He takes ownership. And what's beautiful about it? And there is a beautiful side to taking ownership to our mess. Is he presents it before the Lord without any fear. He just bears it before the Lord. His confidence in the Lord. His knowing of who God is. Because you recall verses 1 and 2. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from all of my sin. He knows God's character. And because he knows who God is, he can come before him honestly. He owned his sin. He owned his mess. The second one is this. There's this openness. There is this openness and there is this honesty to being changed, to being shaped, to being renewed. To what later on in the Second Testament, in the New Testament, what is called new creation. There is this openness to have a clean heart, to have a new heart. Remind you guys, verse 10, the word create in Hebrew is the word bara, which automatically takes the reader back to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God barad the heavens and the earth. This word bara is filled with theological significance that David is pointing to, that God can do what only God can do, and that is create in me a clean heart. I can't do enough. There's not enough good I can do. I can't serve enough. I can't worship enough. I can't do enough good to clean my own heart. This is something only God can do. So the prayer is for God to bara in me a clean heart. God, you do what only you can do. Which then leads to this desire. Desire to restore the joy and intimacy of relationship. And then the response to all this is completely connected to the heart. It is 100% connected to the heart. That is also connected to worship. That is connected to the overall shape and direction of life. Heart, worship, life. I invite you to hear the rest of Psalm 51. Hear the response. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, you who are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. What he is saying is, God, I want to sing again. I want to sing again. This heart that is burdened and that is stained cannot sing anymore. God, create in me a clean heart so that I can sing again. So that I can sing again. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. You will not turn away. You will not reject my honesty as I come before you with my heart. You will not turn me away. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. The response is, I come before you, God, with my mess and with my honesty, and you will not reject it. And because I come before you, then I will sing. Then I will worship. Because you've accepted my broken and contrite heart. Then I can worship. Then I can worship. The response is worship. The response is, how can I keep quiet of this amazing grace, this great compassion, this great love, this unfailing love? How can I keep this to myself? How can I keep quiet? I must tell others. I cannot help but worship. If you notice, the clean, restored, renewed heart is directly connected to the direction that transpires in 13 through 19. The clean, restored, renewed, resurrected heart is directly connected to the response that takes place in 13 through 19. You cannot fake that. You cannot force that. That is a result of an individual who has said, I am tired of pretending. I am tired of my life looking one way on Instagram and then another way somewhere else. That is an individual who says, I am tired of being an actor. I am coming before the Lord honestly, so that I can sing again. So that I can sing again. This is the type of response that is connected to an honest submission with hands wide open. It is a posture of release. I'm tired of holding on to it. I've got to let this go so that I can sing again, so that I can sing again. Who in here wants to worship like that? Who in here wants to live with that type of freedom? Christopher Wright states that worship is a learning experience, and it really truly is. Or rather, worship should be a learning experience. But not just learning in the head, but learning for living. Worship leads us to become like and want to become like the one whom we worship. There are these platitude statements that I myself have said, whatever we're pursuing, we are becoming. Whatever we worship, we are becoming like. Whoever we worship, we are becoming like. And the Psalms say, you know what? That's really true. They may be platitudes, but just because they're platitudes doesn't mean they're not true. We are becoming like what and who we worship. The question always is, what and who are we worshiping? We worship in response to, we live in response to who God is and how we see what God has done. It is directly connected to our hearts. Hearts, worship, life. Which brings to mind an all too important question about our hearts and the layers of complexity that exist within our hearts. Thanks to Shrek, we know this truth about onions. They have what? They have layers. Thank you, Shrek. But not just onions. Our hearts have layers as well. If we're honest about our hearts, we're going to be honest that they're layered. We're going to be honest that they're layered. We have memories, we have experiences, we have stories, we have embarrassments, we have events, we have skeletons, we have habits, we have addictions, we have pet sins, we have hatred, we have unforgiveness, we have resentment, we have worry and anxiety. We have joy. We have layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. We've buried so deep in our hearts that they've layered themselves on top of one another. And we gather together each Sunday morning, bringing in with us our layered hearts, and we try to worship, but our hearts are weighed down by the layers. And Psalm 51 invites us to come before God with a prayer of cleansing for our hearts so that we can worship and we can live. Heart, worship, life. I invite you to hear verses 16 and 17 again. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not delight in all of my songs, in all of my music, for I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, O God, will not refuse. The genius about this is that the biblical direction with which this goes, it's not just here in Psalm 51, but it scatters throughout the entire biblical narrative. It's almost intentional so that we don't forget it. One of these kind of keys or clues to understanding the biblical book in each individual biblical book is if an author says something over and over again, it might be something you want to pay attention to. Which is the case for any book, right? If the author's going to take the time to repeat himself or herself, that may be something worth paying attention to. This direction in Psalm 51 scatters throughout the rest of the biblical narrative to give us eyes that, you know what? I think this is something I need to pay attention to. The condition of my heart. Here are just a few examples. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 29. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. It gives the perception that this is something only God can do. So I will come before God honestly and say, I am bringing you my mess. I am bringing you my junk. I need a new heart. I need a clean heart. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to my laws. In other words, restore, replace, redirect. Heart, worship, life. I will give you a new heart so that you can sing again. Micah 6, verses 6 through 8, which should be a flashback to some of us for the prophet series that David and I did together some time ago. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with a calves year old? Shall I come before Him with all of my songs and my communion and my prayers and my sermons? Shall I come before the Lord with all of my worship? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Shall I come before the Lord with all of this? All of this. And He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, to be honest with God, to be honest with God. No more pretending, no more dressing up, no more covering up, to be honest with God. Another example of this, Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God, according to your great compassion, according to your unfailing love, according to God's great mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Heart, worship, life. They are connected to each other. They are cyclical in nature. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Heart, worship, life. Heart, worship, life. I invite you to listen, to Shema, to what Jesus reveals about our hearts in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Hear this about the condition with which He speaks truth about our hearts. Heart, worship, life. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. You are known by the life which you live. You are known by your deeds. You are known by your words. This is a truth about life. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Get a little country on here. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You are known for how you speak. You are known for your lives. And until we are honest about that and come before the Lord with that honesty, we are acting. We are playing into cultural Christianity. And God is inviting us. Psalm 51 is inviting us to be real and to be honest before the Lord, according to His great love. Luke 5, verses 12 and 13. Again, I invite you to hear this. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged Him, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing. Be clean." I am willing. Be clean. There's not a single one of us in this room that don't have leprosy of the heart. There's not a single one of us. All of us have layer upon layer upon layer of stains and heartbreak and hurts and disappointments. Real things. And Psalm 51 is an invitation to come with that before the Lord and to hear the voice of Jesus saying, I am willing. Be clean. May you hear the answer to the question you may be asking about whether or not Jesus is willing to clean your stained, layered, worn-out heart. The answer is and always will be, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Some of you here this morning are carrying heavy, heavy hearts. May you sing this song with an abandonment of hope that Jesus is willing to clean your stained, layered hearts. Jesus is willing. Create in me a clean heart.
Precious blood has left me forgiven. Pure like the whitest of snow, powerful to make sin and shame retreat, this covenant is making me whole. So I will rise and lift my head, for by His mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Purify my heart in your presence. Teach me to discover the joy of holiness that forms as you draw me close. In you what was lost is restored. So I will rise and lift my head, for by His mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. So I will rise and lift my head. For by His mercy, my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean.
Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Got me, Shannon? Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to come and to enter the most holy place by the precious blood of Jesus, next slide, brother. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, that I can be honest before the Lord. having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. You cannot walk away from that text without seeing and hearing and feeling baptism. But you also can't walk away from that text without seeing, feeling, and hearing that Jesus is willing to clean your hearts. And because of His blood, our hearts are clean. There is freedom and honesty about our hearts that impacts every area of our life. Our heart in worship, I remind you guys of the quote from Francis Chan that we showed a few months ago. Random churchgoer, I didn't really like worship today. Too bad, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you in the first place. There is this honesty about worship. There's this honesty about our hearts that impacts worship. It impacts our heart at home. It impacts our heart at work, our heart at school, our hearts in every area of our life, in every area of social media. There's freedom and honesty when it comes to our hearts. And it impacts everywhere. It spreads everywhere. And none of us ever reach a point in our lives where our hearts don't need cleansed. Arise, team, you guys can come on back up. We never reach a point in our lives where we have arrived. Where I'm good. I can just skate on through until I die and then off to the pearly gates I go. As if the Bible ever teaches that. As if the Gospels ever teach us that that's the point of life, is to go to heaven when we die. 1 John verse 1, verses 5 through 9. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We live double standard lives. We're this way in this area in our life, but we're another way in this area. I'm this way on Sunday, but come Monday afternoon, I'm somebody else. The Bible doesn't give us permission to live double standards. We lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin, continuously cleansing us from sin. Heart, worship, life. Would you guys please stand? As is each and every single Sunday, we have prayer warriors that are in the back. They're in our prayer room. And they are willing and eager to pray with anybody here this morning that wants to be honest about the condition of your heart. And if you're not willing to go to the prayer room, may you respond where you're at. And during this last song, may you come before the Lord honestly, saying, Jesus, I know Your blood can make me clean. Create in me a clean heart. And may you declare aloud in here and in your life that Jesus' blood has made you clean. The Lord bless you. Let's worship together.